I feel like the rooster. All you guys preaching last night and this morning, boy, I tell you what, I needed that. It's a rooster and an elephant was taking a walk down a road, and they come upon one of those wood swinging bridges over a big canyon. That rooster looked up that elephant for a minute, you know, and I don't know about this. And they started walking on that bridge, and they got about the middle halfway of that bridge. Boy, that thing was just going like this. And that rooster looked up that elephant and said, boy, we're making her shake, aren't we? So that's how I feel today. Let me get started. Take your Bible, turn to, we're going to be multiple places. And boy, I thought this would work. Wait a minute. Plug it in all the way. Try that. Ah! Thank the Lord is right. And think Bible. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 11. You keeping up? We'll start with Ephesians 2 first. Thank you for having me here. And appreciate the invite. And boy, I tell you what, this thing's growing, Jamie. It's got a good crowd today, and that's good to see. God's people is still God's people. Amen. And they're still coming out. They're still wanting to hear the truth. Because I give up. I did. I'm like Jamie. After the election, I can't say the word election on YouTube. Not kidding you. I've had two strikes against my channel, two videos, two sermons taken down. One of them, 2 years after I preached it, they went back and took it down because I said something about the election. In January of 2020, I said something about the election. YouTube took the video down. That's called censorship. That's called shut your mouth, church. Don't say anything while we take over the world. Okay? So, preachers, don't shut your mouth. Amen? But that's the world we're living in, and God's people are still hungry for the truth, and they're still out there. I said last night I'd say something a little bit about Kenya and what is going on out there. For those of you who know, and by the way, visit the table out here. Take the bookmarks with you, and they're free. And just use that as sort of like a prayer card to help us. I don't ask for money. I don't have to. Because I found out if you just pray and seek God and you do what God tells you to do, God pays the bills. And so I don't ask for money. I'm not asking you for anything. I'm asking you to pray for us and pray for the ministry out there. My son-in-law got me over my head with Kenya. And it started with him wanting to start a radio station. He aggravated me to death. And finally I said, fine, do it. And it was like that, wasn't it? Just leave me alone. So we did it. And I'll tell you what, I've been up to Samburu twice now. And man, them pastors up there loving it. And you know what they said? There's a false prophet in Kenya named Dr. Owar. I mean, he is big cheese in Kenya. He is hooked in with all the politicians and big money people in Kenya because he's dirty. He is nasty, dirty. And guys like that know that if they get hooked in with the right people, they can't be taken to prison. Okay? And that's just the kind of guy he is. He claims to raise people from the dead all the time. He claims, listen to this now, Moses said that God was going to send his prophet, right? Who is that prophet? No, it's Dr. Owar, according to Dr. Owar. I'm going, he is another Jesus. That's what he is. And so the pastors up in Samburu and Turkana both, they said, you know what, we thought he was God's man, and I guess we're just going to just read the King James Bible and get our sermons from there. Amen. Listen, you pray for those men. They don't have the education available there that we have here. And God bless Brother Mike Hutzel for what he's doing over there, sending the ACE paces, the Bible paces over there, training those pastors just in simple doctrines. And a lot of those guys are on their own. And some places, I mean, I don't like it and I'm against it 100%, but in some places they cannot find a man to pastor the church. And so some woman takes over. Pray that God will send men. Amen. But God laid it on my heart several years ago. I was watching a YouTube video of one of these traveling guys that goes around the world eating all kinds of garbage, okay? And he was in a temple, a Sikh temple, in Malaysia somewhere, something like that. I don't remember where it was. But that temple, every single day of the year, feeds thousands of people that just come to it, show up for a meal. They get a free meal. If they go up 2 meals a day, they get 2 meals a day. And that just got me. And I'm going, those people are lost as can be. But they're doing what Jesus said, and that is taking care of poor people. So I asked God, I said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, feed people. And I thought that we would feed, we got poor people that live out. We're kind of the edge of civilization in Missouri. You go past Festus, you're in the hills, you're in the boonies. And there's a lot of poor people down there. I pastored out in Washington County, and up there it's very poor, very poverty stricken up there. And I know there's people that could use some food. But I mentioned it to my son-in-law, and he said that our station manager said in Turkana, he said, there's people dying every day up here of starvation. I said, that's it. And so we seeded some money, and out of that, $500, we fed like 200 families. And I was like, wow. You give them enough food for a week, they'll stretch it out to two because they're used to it. And that started it. And all I did was say what we started doing from the pulpit online. And I'm telling you, God's people responded. And I mentioned last night, I'm going to have to check the number again to be accurate. It was somewhere between 50 and 60,000 families that we fed just in Turkana last year. That surprised me. I didn't think it was that much. So a lot of you know we rescued 4 orphans a couple years ago. They showed up. A 9-year-old girl was the head of the family. She had 3 siblings. One was just a toddler. The dad died. The mother died of a drug overdose. And they showed up for food, and it just broke my son-in-law's heart, Michael. And he come home and tell me about it, and I was praying about it. I said, God, what can we do? Well, the next day, Michael said, can I go out there and save them? I said, get a ticket. So he went out there and got all the permissions necessary to have them put into an orphanage. They're doing fine now. They're doing well. They're healthy. They're fed. This last year, we found a family, an old woman, and 2 boys, and their legs, I'm not kidding you, their legs were that big around. That is not an exaggeration. I can show you the picture. And the grandmother died, but we rescued the 2 boys, and we're making sure that they get food, all the food that they need. When you see things like that with somebody else doing it, you don't think much of it, but when you're involved in it, it just breaks your heart. We're going to throw food away this afternoon and eat more than we need. Over there, they did not get Christmas presents for Christmas. We gave them food. And so it's a big need. And one thing that has really stirred my heart in anger, and I'm going on the attack against the Catholic Church. They, of course, I've mentioned this. They showed up to our station office and said, whoever that Mzungu is you got on that radio station, you need to get him off there because he's saying bad things about the Catholic Church. And they said, well, he owns station, so we can't take him off. And so there is no doubt in my mind, knowing the Vatican the way I do, knowing the ways of our, and they are our enemies. Mark it down. They are the enemies of the cross. They are the enemies of grace. They are the enemies of the Word of God, and they are our enemies. And I'm going to show you the powers behind them in a little bit. But anyway, one of the things they did was they bribed the landlord who we were renting office space from for our radio station to have him cancel our lease illegally. So he canceled our lease and said, you got 30 days to get out. The Catholic Church needs this office space now. They need these rooms here. Because they're going to store food in it to give away, which I thought was a lie. I thought they're just trying to run us out, think they can run us out of town. Well, we ended up finding better office, bigger office for cheaper rent. God's good. Amen. Hey, thanks for doing us a favor, Pope Francis. So anyway, I found out that they did store grain in those offices. And in the midst of the worst drought in modern history in Turkana, they let that grain rot. Let me tell you something. The Catholic Church is a rotten, corrupt system. It is full of dead men's bones and corruption. And it doesn't surprise me that they let good bread go bad. You think about that, what I'm saying. Give us this day our daily bread. They let it rot and they had to burn it all. With their billions of dollars just in the gold that they cover their statues with. And God still fed the people the way God wanted to feed the people. And it humbles it. I'm not proud of it. I know who I am. I am the rooster among you elephants. I'm just glad to be here, glad to be part of it. Amen. My motto is Think Bible. And everything you guys do, Think Bible. I am not necessarily the revival preacher that Brother Lonnie is, Brother your dad is, Brother Mike, and you others. That's not my spiritual gift. I guess you could call this an intelligence briefing. And while I may not have an altar call at the end, I may not have people crying their eyes out when I'm done, or maybe they would be crying their eyes out for me to get done, but I will be providing something that a lot of the members of our churches wish that our pastors had, and that is intelligence. You'll catch that later. Ephesians 2, you got it open? See, I'm going to do that, what you call that off-the-wall preaching. I know what you call it, but I do it for a reason. It's all King James, you guys know me, and I'm not going to just give you one verse and slide through the message. I'm sitting down in the hallway while you were preaching, Brother Lonnie, and added four verses to it, just to make it longer. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, say amen. Amen. Wherein in time past, you guys, walked according to the course of this world. This world is on course, is it not? So they may approve the liquor license. They may. Wouldn't surprise me. Brother Lonnie told me that that was a sodomite man that's heading that. And you know what? That hit me. Deuteronomy 32 mentions the vine of Sodom. The vine of Sodom, what do you think the fruit of Sodom is? Sodomy. And it produces a wine. The wine from those clusters is full of serpent's poison. Boy, you preach that one of these days. Amen? Liquor is still serpent's poison, isn't it? Sure is. Okay, it's ruining families everywhere. Destroying the world. But that's the course of it. I figured that out one day when I was reading Jeremiah 51 and God said, Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. Who controls Mystery Babylon? God does. Why? Because there are people out there who don't really want to know the truth, even though they say they want to know the truth and they're seeking truth. They really don't want to know what it is because the truth will make them free from their sins and they want to keep their sins and still say they're honoring God at the same time. And you can't do it. I'm telling you by experience, you can't do it. So, anyway, God uses Babylon to deceive people who want to be deceived. And there are two types of people in this world. People who really want to know the truth and people who want to be lied to. And you were talking about churches, and there are churches who just want to be lied to, so they've got to give them a pastor that will lie to them. Churches that want to know the truth, got to give them a Jamie Doyle, Craig Malines, Mike Hoggard, the Rooster. That's what he'll do. So the world is on course. Who's leading the course? According to the prince of the power of the air. A prince in the Bible is a principality. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So when you see the prince Gog, the prince of Meshech. That's a spirit. That's a devil. The prince of the people of Persia withstood Michael, or was it Gabriel, the messenger. And Michael had to go and fight him and hold him back so Daniel could get the message from God. That wasn't a man who was the prince of Persia. That was a spirit. That was the prince. There is a prince over Pea Ridge. There's a prince over Bentonville and Walmart. I knew I'd get you that one. It ain't Sam's Walmart, I tell you that. It ain't. It's gone way past that. Way past that. They're leading the world. Okay? So think about these. Think about what's really running the show and who's really behind it. Okay? So I have up here messengers of deception, ghosts, I'll say it Arkansas way, haints. Did I get it right? And boogers? Not boogeymen. Boogers. I know where I'm at. Familiar spirits. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. This is going to be fun. Who in here has ever heard, seen, or experienced a supernatural event? Raise your hand. Come on, you're in God's house. Okay? Anybody ever? Yeah? Yeah, she said her husband. Yeah. Booger, okay. Has anybody ever seen a haint, a devil, a spirit? They say there's one in our church. I've never seen it, but they've all described it the same way. So I have to believe it. If angels can be seen, okay? And are we living in a time now where there's great revival going on in America and people are being saved everywhere and the devil has no power against us or what? It's the other way around, isn't it? I have a video out here called Where Dragons Live, and I want to encourage you to watch it. I studied dragons one time in the Bible, just wanted to see their nature. The Bible sometimes is the Boy Scout's guide, a field guide to things that we cannot see. It tells us how they are. Dragons like to live in certain places. Bees live in a hive, and foxes have holes, birds have nests. God designed every animal in the world to live in a certain place and be comfortable in that place. And if you are walking around your house and you see that bees are building a nest or a hive around your house, do you wait until they're done to see if they're going to cause problems? My point is this. Is that the Bible is clear that dragons and all kinds of other evil spirits live in places where no man dwelleth. Now, spirits, we know from the Bible, are not afraid of us. The seven sons of Sceva will tell you that. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? But there's one man that they are afraid of. The man, Christ Jesus. Amen? So you see my point here. Where the man is present, the dragons won't be. The bees and the wasps and the badgers and the coyotes and the foxes and everything else won't be around because the man is there. When people live in a house, the critters stay away. But if you've ever been walking around someplace on an old farm and see an old farmhouse or an old bar or something like that, go in there, what are you going to find in there? Critters. Everywhere. They've infested it. But why? Because the man doesn't live there anymore. You get my point on this? In this country, we're turning into Babylon very quickly. And Isaiah 13, Isaiah 34, both say that in Babylon, where Babylon lives, it's a wasteland. It is a wilderness. It is full of dragons. It is full of owls. It is full of doleful creatures. And by that, they're meaning spirits. The Bible even mentions in both of those places creature called satyr. A satyr is supposed to be like a half man, half goat type thing. Okay? I'm not positive. I've got my own theories about that. But I'm telling you, that is a devil. Because the word is used in another place in the King James Bible. And the translators translated it devils. Okay? So the Bible's telling you these are devils. And they live in this country. And if people have been... Our ancestors went in the woods and saw and heard things that they could not explain. Am I telling the truth to you? People have seen shadow figures that made the hackles stand up. You may have been in a place, somebody's house, or with somebody, or maybe even gone into a church, and all of a sudden a spirit, a very foul feeling came over you. Right? And you knew you were not in the right place. And what that was the beasts that were in that place, because the man is not. Behold the man. Amen? Where the man is not, the beast will dwell. And God's, the spirit that is in you is Christ. And you may not be able to hear him, but then again, you might. They're saying, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, what have we to do with thee? Amen? So that's your intelligence briefing. Now, up on the screen here, two types of what I call inspiration. Cartomancy, which is, and there's different kinds of what the Bible calls divination. And divination, things like extrasensory perception, psychic awareness, psychic abilities, telekinesis, which they say is the ability to move things with your mind, or the ability to read somebody's mind or read somebody's thoughts, or clairvoyance, the ability to see spirits everywhere you go, clairaudience, the ability to hear different spirits talking and so on. You have people who call themselves seers because they believe they have the ability to tell the future. Now, I know of no better source of telling the future than this book right here. It is a sure word of prophecy, and the best prophecy that I've ever seen in this book is that my congregation is going to heaven. Amen. I'm happy about that prophecy. Amen. I can't wait for that one to be fulfilled. Shoot me if you want to. Well, ask my wife first, then. Or crystal ball gaze. I know you probably can't see that too well up there. But I submit to you that we have politicians who are not being inspired by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, or guided by angels. I submit to you that we have politicians that are being led by evil spirits, familiar spirits, in this country. I submit to you that we have education systems that are not receiving inspiration from the Bible because they outlawed that. So where are they going to get their inspiration from? Man's not smart enough to come up with some things man's come up with. I was telling the preachers earlier, there's an artificial intelligence system out right now. And the news article that I read said that school teachers now are worried because children are going to have access to it. The artificial intelligence system that is online right now, you can ask it literally any question in a way that you would ask your wife a question, your pastor a question, your doctor a question, a politician a question, and it will give you a response that you could not tell was written by a computer. And what the teachers are worried about is the students getting a hold of this, using it to do their homework for them. Teacher says, I want a 500-word essay on how Napoleon took over Europe. They'll ask the artificial intelligence, how did Napoleon take over Europe? That's all they do is ask and say, and give me 500 words of how Napoleon took over Europe. And in 3 seconds, they've got a 500-word essay. That's out now. Okay? And that's just the tip of the iceberg of the artificial intelligence systems that we don't know about that are there. Okay? So we are getting near a time when we won't be in control of anything anymore. Okay? Aren't you glad you're on God's side? Say amen. So, and I believe that we have Sunday school literature writers that are not writing by inspiration of the Holy Ghost or by the Scriptures. I believe that we have pastors and seminaries that are not following the Word of God nor being led by the Holy Spirit in their doctrines, in their teachings, in the things that they're instructing their students to say. I believe that they're contradicting the Scripture. I've been to the Bible colleges. I can tell you what they say. Okay? I know what they say about our Bible. They say it's a lie. They say it's not true. Well, my Bible says it is, so who am I going to believe? The esteemed doctor or my Word of God? This is keeping the dragons away. Amen? So you see where I'm going with this. Familiar spirits, Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have... There's two things in the Bible. Those that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards, to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And what you'll see is often familiar spirits located in the same verse with wizards. And what I think the Bible is doing is connecting those two ideas of a wizard. The word wizard simply means, it comes from an old English word that's in our King James, the word wist. Jesus used that word, wist ye not. And what it means is, it's where we get the word wisdom from. And it means, do you not know? Do you not have this knowledge? And so the word wizard, the word witch, and the word Wicca all come from the word wist, which was an old wisdom word. Okay? But their wisdom is corrupt. Where does their wisdom come from? It comes from familiar spirits, doctrines of and seducing. See? Okay, you guys know the Bible. You know what it says. So I'm just here to put it all together for you and show you what's going on in this world right now. Whether you want to believe it or not, this is happening. And it's happening in our neighborhoods. It's happening in our families. Oh, by the way, guess what? God answers prayer.
Amen.
I mentioned a prayer request that a loved one in our church, in our family, was in the ICU. And while Brother Lonnie was preaching, she woke up.
Amen.
And that set my heart aglow. Leviticus 20 verse 6, and the soul that turneth after, not the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards. See how it groups them together? So a wizard is just somebody who has knowledge from a source other than the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. To go a whoring after them. God said you're committing adultery with them. I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. It means they're not going to heaven. They're not going to heaven. But pastors are not going to heaven. Deacons that are not going to heaven. Church members that are not going to heaven. Whole churches that are not going. Leviticus 20:27. A man also, or a woman. Did I say that? A woman that hath a familiar spirit. What gender is Babylon? He's a woman. What gender is the Holy Spirit? Masculine. See the opposite? A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. And I think stoning with stones is a type of Daniel chapter 2 where the stone cut without hands comes after the image and and destroys it. That's Christ. Christ is the stone. Amen? So give them a big load of Jesus. Amen? Their blood shall be upon them and not you for not doing your job, preacher. Not doing your job, deacon. Not doing your job, Sunday school teacher. Amen. I found this recently. I found this the other day. The gospel according to Harry Potter. What is Harry Potter? Wizard. He has wist knowledge. He has occult knowledge. Echoes of the gospel in Harry Potter. Harry Potter, death and the Christian experience. Teaching faith with Harry Potter. A guidebook for parents and educators for multi-generational faith formation. That kind of sounds like something come out of Nashville, doesn't it? I mean. Sounds just like it, doesn't it? They're using these multi-generational faith and spiritual formation words instead of the gospel and being saved and don't go to hell and sin. So what spirit would that be? Moreover, I always wanted a dog and call him Moreover. You know the story of the rich man Lazarus, and Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. That's okay. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirit. Okay, now it's a different person now. You have a person that hath a familiar spirit and a worker with familiar spirit. And the wizard, see, again, boom, they're together. And now we're going to connect two other things, images and idols. And all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away. Josiah is a type of Christ. He even has a name that sounds like Yeshua, Josiah, Joshua, Isaiah, Hosea, or all have the word Savior or to save in it. All right. Anyway, did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book? They're written in the book, amen, that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. So, name for me churches that have idols. Name for me churches that have idols. The Catholic Church. Okay, now I'm doing a series right now. And I want to encourage you to watch. I don't sell myself. But this one is my retribution for them burning that food. It's called Vatican Secrets. The first four parts of the series dealt with the issue of why they're predator priests, what created them, what purpose they serve. And I found out that there is a place where the Catholic Church has been hiding them out 8 miles from my house, less than 1 mile from an elementary school, right next door to a Catholic family retreat center. There are 40 beds or 40 apartments in this facility. It's off limits. You can't go on there, but I got video of it. And they house 40 priests that have been chased into that place or hid away in that place by the archbishops. Five of them, I know for a fact, are registered sex offenders because I know the person who registers them. Okay? Five of them are. Now, those are the ones that were adjudicated, judged, and said, you have to register. The other 35 are there because the heat got too hot and the Catholic Church hit them out there. And so, do the idols that they pray to have anything to do with that? You betcha they do. Name me another church that has idols. It's not just Catholic Church, is it? Give me another one. Lutheran. First Lutheran church I ever went to was a funeral for some friends that were family activists in our area and worked in Jefferson City all the time for homeschools and that. And they were a good family, but their son got killed in a car wreck and they went to this Lutheran church. So I go in there and sit down and I see this big Jesus sitting on stage and I'm just going, boy, that ain't right, ain't right. And then when I see the priest walk down the aisle and he's reading a prayer and he comes and stands before the statue bowing, reading the prayer, and I'm going, ain't right. That's a commandment. You should not make unto thee any graven image, likeness of anything in heaven or in the earth or beneath the earth. You should not bow down to them. You should not pray to them. So why is it that these educated men who have obviously read the commandments of God that said, do not have idols, why did they then put idols in their church? Was it the Holy Spirit that told them to do that? Oh. Familiar spirits, devils, seducing spirits. See what I'm talking about? Any others that you know of? Come on. They're not going to come get you. They'll come get me. I'm bait. Okay, I'll be your bait, all right? Name another one. Denomination or church that has idols in their church.
How about the Orthodox Church?
Sure. The Christian Orthodox, or Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, they're just Roman Catholics. Okay, separated. Presbyterians. Come on. Yeah, Episcopalians, say mainline denominations. Mormons do. Okay. Muslims, they worship a stone, a black stone that's in the Kaaba in Mecca. They bow to it, pray to it five times a day. Okay. It is a different gospel for them. And if they have a different gospel, it's a different Savior. It's a different God. Amen. Now, do these idols have any power? Is there, and here's what I believe. I'm going to just go ahead and say, I believe that every place that has an idol in it, there is a devil there. A devil there. So now, Mike, can you back that up with Scripture? I think I can. Because if you have a house of idols, is God going to be there?
No.
Now, I'm going to add something else in here. The New Testament version of idolatry is covetousness. Got to be careful, fellas. ladies, be careful. Guard your heart. Love not the world, neither the things. Amen. Churches that have idols. So if churches have idols, what spirit do they have in there? Now, I believe there are spirits associated and attached with these. And I have scripture that I've put this in. Well, Brother Lonnie, I was listening to you. I was out in the hallway adding this. 1 Samuel 5, turn there. You know the story. The Philistines, or wait a minute. The priests of Dagon who wear the Dagon fish hats. Who am I talking about? The bishops. That mitre that they wear goes all the way back to ancient Philistia, Sumeria, where they worshipped a god named Dagon, or there's other names for that god. But he was half man and half sea creature, half fish. And so there are carvings left for us, a historical record, that these priests of Dagon wore a fish head hat. Some of you bass fishers would love this one. You could wear one and put a little hook in its mouth on the side there. So that's what I caught. And it would have like little things dangling down the back like it was the fish body. What the priest was saying was that we have become one with Dagon. We have joined ourselves with him. He is in us. We are in him. Just like Christ is in us and we are in Christ. It's that way in the other spiritual world. Okay? And these men are doing what they're told to do. Catholic priests are some of the most educated men in the world. Catholic priests usually, a lot of times, end up being astrophysicists, doctors, medical doctors, scientists of various types. There's Catholic priests working at the Large Hadron Collider in Europe. I mean, these are smart men. But they're so ignorant, they bow and pray to pieces of stone, pieces of wood. That's got to be a spirit. Makes them do that. So the Philistines took the Ark of God, brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it unto the house of Dagon and set it by who? What was Dagon? What are they referring to? A fish? Did they have a fish in there? They had an idol. Half man, half fish. Like Little Mermaid. The Little Mermaid's father was Dagon. Neptune. Different names, same God. Okay? They brought it to the house of Dagon and they set it by Dagon. Why? Dagon, the ark was God's throne. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Right? He wants God's throne. And he's trying to steal mine every day. Amen? So Dagon wanted that throne. The spirit behind Dagon. The spirit in Dagon. And when the day of Ashdod rose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. And they took Dagon. Dagon is so mighty and so powerful that we have to pick him up. Have you seen that video where these guys are carrying this Virgin Mary statue in a Catholic church and they round the corner and all of a sudden the statue falls and breaks into pieces and the video ends there. You don't hear the, oh! Those people are ignorant. You need to pray for them. No, I mean it. Ignorant in the right sense. They are ignoring Scripture and they've turned their salvation and put it in the hands of Babylon, who they call Mary. But it's not Mary. It's mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. The idols are the abominations, part of them. And see, that Mary was so powerful. She had legs, but she couldn't walk. She had arms, but she cannot heal. She has a mouth, she cannot speak. It says ears cannot hear and eyes cannot see.
Yeah, right.
They that worship them are like unto them.
Right.
David said. When they arose early on the morrow, beholding, Dagon was fallen upon his face. Dagon is fallen. To the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. See, you know what I picture in my mind? The human part broke off from the fish part. That's because iron and clay don't go together. That's Daniel 2. That's the fourth king. You're looking at a picture of the fourth kingdom. And what's going to happen is that these spirits are going to mingle themselves with the seed of men. The Bible says it. But it's not going to work. Because iron cannot mix with miry clay. That's how we know the devil's kingdom will not stand. It fell, didn't it? Amen. On the far, let's see, your left, is called Mary of Guadalupe. The story is a man, a poor farmer, lost a goat or some sheep, and he went up on this mountain to find his goats or whatever, and all of a sudden he saw an apparition. Did he really see it? Yeah, I believe he did. He saw the appearance of a spirit in the sky that he perceived it was the Virgin Mary. And the Virgin Mary said all kinds of things to the man, like, I want my people to pray the rosary every day and all this Catholic stuff. In other words, boosting up Catholic doctrine to the people, forcing them into works-based salvation instead of salvation by grace. And so when this man passed out and when he woke up, he had this, I guess it was a blanket or something like that, that had this image embedded on it. And he brought it down from the mountain. It is there in a church in Guadalupe, Mexico now. And people all over the world travel to the church at Guadalupe or the shrine at Guadalupe, and they bow to this image of mystery or a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit. And they're hearing doctrines of devils. They're being seduced by this, and they won't leave. Catholics are some of the hardest people in the world to lead to the gospel because they have it in their mind. Their priest told them this is how it is, and that's how it is. On this picture here was called the miracle at Fatima. This was in Portugal, I believe. And around 1916, somewhere around in there, three children who were out, they were tending sheep, and a familiar spirit appeared to them. They perceived that it was the Virgin Mary. She said basically the same thing. I want people to start praying the rosary. At that time, World War I was going on. And she said, if my people will stop sinning and they will start praying the rosary every day and they will send their prayers to me, then the war will end. So these three children went reporting what they heard. They had a second apparition. They had a third apparition. And in that third apparition, the familiar spirit, posing as Mary, told the children that on a certain date, I think it was like May 14th or something like that, but they gave actually a certain date and said, tell everybody to be here on this date and they will see that this miracle is true. 70,000 people traveled, many of them by foot, hundreds of miles to come because they had heard word that Mary was going to appear. Now, on that day, there were newspaper reporters that had mocked and scoffed at this. While they did not see the actual familiar spirit, they saw lights in the sky weaving and bobbing all over the place. Everybody saw that. Now, some of you may question me why I'm looking into UFOs. What I can tell you is that every pro-UFO person that I've ever researched somehow, some way, practices these occult practices. Necromancy, divination, contact with familiar spirits, so on and so on and so on. So what is... It's just another form of the same kingdom. Amen. Devil's got a lot of tools in his basket, doesn't he? Okay? So if you got somebody over here meditating to some unknown spirit and receiving messages from them, or you have some UFO person trying to contact and call down UFOs and they actually show up, or you have three children who say the Virgin Mary is going to appear on May whatever at 1 o'clock and things start showing up and everybody sees it, they're not lying. And they're all part of the same kingdom, the devil's kingdom. Okay? Pope Francis named himself after Saint Francis. St. Francis of Assisi, he was a Catholic monk, and he had a vision, and he heard a voice, and he believed that it was Jesus. And the voice, remember I told you about clairaudience and clairvoyance. Clairvoyance people, they can see spirits. Clairaudience people can hear them. And he heard this spirit tell him, he believed it was Jesus, and the spirit told him, Francis, I want you to restore my church. Now, he was at, there was a church there in that village, and it was all broken down, so he started bringing stones down from the mountain and chiseling them himself to rebuild this church that was in this town. He didn't understand that later on he would understand that the Spirit didn't mean rebuild this building, rebuild the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church is built upon things like idolatry and penance, which is not biblical. You don't pay for your sins. They've been paid for. Amen. Free. Amen. Amen. That's what it's built on. And it holds people in bondage. And it tells their priests, God will give you a gift called celibacy. And you will never have fleshly desires again if you join the priesthood. Is it true?
No.
Obviously, it is not true. But that's how the Vatican holds these men in check, in their power. Because if the cardinals, who wear the lace dresses and the fish hats, and they pray to idols, if the cardinals have molested children, well, they can't have a young priest telling the goods on these cardinals because they're supposed to be holy men. And so they take away this man's ability to have a wife and say that God will give you a gift, and the gift never shows up, and he has urges and desires that he cannot stop. And it always turns into perversion every time. And now this guy's going to keep his mouth shut. See how it works? That's corruption for you. That's what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. This is why we got a slobbering senior citizen in the White House. I won't be able to put this on YouTube. But this Jesuit named himself after Francis because that's what he intends to do. Reshape the church. Take it away from the old Ratzinger crowd and make it more ecumenical than it has been before. And so we're going to welcome all religions. We're going to bring them all in under one blanket. Okay? And Francis is the guy to do it. Okay? He's got the charisma. He's got the people that follow him. And he's a Jesuit. He swore an oath that that's what he would do. Am I right? And as a Jesuit, there's something that Francis the Pope does every day. And that is, before he does his morning mass, he has his Ignatian meditation time. He was taught this by Ignatius de Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order, who ransacked the occult world and brought in all these what's called spiritual practices and brought them and trained his priests, these Jesuits, to do these things. And one of them is called Ignatian contemplation. It is where you go into a quiet space, you light a candle, and you start repeating a word over and over. And it could be a piece of scripture, like, lovest thou me, lovest thou me, lovest thou me, or Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And you do it over and over and over again until you enter into a trance state. And your mind now has emptied. And you have no thoughts. Have you heard the word mindfulness? It's a lie. It's not mindfulness. It's mind emptiness. They just changed what it was. And they want to teach you to, like in yoga, you empty your mind. And what you're doing is you're opening up a door for spirits. Because God put a firewall in your mind called sobriety. Be sober. Be vigilant. Vigilant. I'm from Missouri. Vigilant for your adversary the devil. He tells us over and over in the Bible to be sober. To not be given to wine and strong drink. So that we can be sober, right? When we're sober, we can sort out what's right and what's wrong. But if we're drunk, either physically or spiritually, we cannot discern holy from unholy, from clean and unclean, from holy and profane. We cannot tell the difference. And so Ignatian contemplation is just another form of transcendental meditation. And basically you're talking to spirits. You're inviting them in to your mind to talk to you. Francis does that every day. Every day. And so do some pastors, too. Deuteronomy 18, you probably know this one. The 9 forbidden practices. Very quickly, I'll go through them. Number one, you shouldn't make a son or daughter pass through fire. You know Bethel Church does that? Not mine. In Redding, California. They literally will line people up. And they'll stand and arch their arms over. And they'll have a line here and a line here. And they'll arch their arms over like this. And they call that the fire tunnel. And when they get new converts in their church, they want to give them a new spirit. They make them pass through the fire tunnel. That's the first thing God said don't do. So what makes these people who say they get their things from the Bible and they follow God, what makes them do these false practices? It's a different spirit. They're led by devils. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. They don't care about the Bible. In fact, most of these people think they're above it. Okay? Or that uses divination. That's any kind of getting any kind of information through occult means, through some other means other than the 5 senses. The eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, and the hands. Okay? You're getting them put directly into your mind. Now, when I read the Bible, the Holy Ghost, the Word is still inspired. Amen? All Scripture is present tense given by inspiration of God. When I read the Scriptures, the Holy Ghost is inspiring me. Okay? And He's telling me through my sober thought processes, this is what this means and this is how it's connected to this and I want you to preach this. Right, preachers? That's how it works. In their world, they go into a trance. And they get devils talking to them. One guy named Mark Vergler, he was on a show called It Supernatural. This guy is supposedly a Christian. He's not. And he put this guy out there that says that every day you should go into a room and empty your mind so that God can, you're making space for God. If you go to some of these churches, you'll hear him say that. We need to make space for God. You don't have to do that. So you empty your mind and you start hearing this voice. And this guy said, start writing these things down. Everything that spirit tells you, that's God's word for you today. No, that's called automatic writing. Practitioners of divination have done that for thousands of years where a spirit would take over and they would write this. The guy who penned the lyrics to Stairway to Heaven, when he got done, he had no idea what he wrote. Because he said something took the pencil over and wrote these words down. He said, I don't know where it came from. Divination, observer of times, that's astrology, an enchanter, someone who repeats prayers or prays and worship songs. Right? Because they sing the same thing over and over and over and over, and that is to bring you into a subconscious altered state. or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, see how they're connected together again, or a necromancer talking to the dead, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Now, the two things I will point out to you. Number one, a person that hath a familiar spirit. You might want to write this down. A person that hath a familiar spirit, to me, says that that spirit abides in them and dwells in them and controls them. That spirit is in charge. Is that possible? You saw it, Jane. You saw it. You and your dad saw a person who was not in charge of her thoughts. A devil was. Jesus told us that this would happen. He told us that we would cast out devils. So He told us, get ready. And He told us also in two places that some of them won't come out unless you... Well, that's not in the modern translations, Craig. It's not. And I got into a fight with a guy at the end of a service one night because I said he was supporting the NIV and he was making fun of me. And I said, oh, so you don't believe that prayer and fasting casts out devils? He said, the King James added that to the Bible. Should have never been in there. So I gave up. I quit right then. I'm going, there's no talking to him. Does he have the same spirit that I have? Obviously not. Obviously not. Okay, and he's going to find out one of these days. So this shows possession by a spirit, or at least an accompaniment by a familiar spirit, guiding or aiding to one controlled by that spirit. Let me draw this illustration for you. This was given to me by the medical doctor that first gave me the idea that the human cell is the wilderness tabernacle. He was an ER doctor, and he was a good Christian man, and knew the difference between somebody that came in and was on drugs, somebody that came in that had psychotic issues, and somebody that came in that had a devil. He said, after a while of working with these people in a fast ER environment, I got used to telling. And he said, it was kind of easy after a while, because if I said to the person that was in the waiting room, sit down in the name of Jesus and keep your mouth shut, I'll attend to you in a little bit. If they sat down and kept their mouth shut, they weren't on drugs. Okay? And he described it like this. Devil possession is you have a bus and you used to be the bus driver, which means that you made all the turns, all the stops, and all the goes. But a spirit took over and now the spirit is driving the bus and you're sitting in the seat behind. You're there, but you're not in charge of the bus. The devil is. Okay, that's one type. Here's another type. And I'm not saying that pastors all around us are possessed with devils. I'm saying many of them are led by a spirit that they think is the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to show you from the Bible that it's not. A consulter with familiar spirits. This shows that the practitioner consults with the spirits to gain counsel, insight, prophecies, instructions. Often the spirit masquerades as a known person. I'll give you an example. Benny Hinn claims that he went to Catherine Kuhlman's grave and received her anointing by her personally after she dies. That's necromancy. Contact now. Was it really Catherine Kuhlman? What was it? A familiar spirit. Someone that looked like Catherine Kuhlman. Spoke like Catherine Kuhlman. So the spirit imparted to Benny Hinn. Was that the Holy Spirit? Nope. The Bethel Church, Redding, California. They instruct their people to go to the graves of dead saints of God. Pray over their tombstone to receive the leftover anointing that was in their life that they never accomplished. They call it grave sucking. Jewish rabbis do this. They go to the graves of former great Jewish rabbis who are all in the occult. And they contact this dead Jewish rabbi or a familiar spirit to get their knowledge and understanding of the Kabbalah. That's done today. So these men are getting counsel. So when you are a consulter with familiar spirits, you're still driving the bus. But the spirit is sitting in the seat behind you telling you where to go. And you just do what it tells you to do. Okay? Meanwhile, your family, your church, and everybody you know is sitting on the bus. And you're taking them down with you. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? This book, this will be in your public school library. The Fortune Tellers. And it was described as, this original folktale set in Cameroon is full of adventure and sly humor. Now, you've been to Kenya, haven't you? Did you hear them talking to you? The devils. I did. Your dad was there. And they didn't want us around. They were going to use me to bust up the whole thing. Because they knew my weakness. So I've been over there. And now they know the spirits over there. And they're beasts. And I heard them. Not here. Lloyd Alexander's story of a young man visiting and then becoming the village fortune teller is brought to vibrant life. So let's say my grandson, Jaden, he loves to read and he picks up this book. Because when I was his age, I would have. Because that fascinated me. And I would have read that and I would have wanted to become a fortune teller. That's what it's all about. See, we're not training children in this anymore. Not even in the churches are we doing this anymore. So if it's not this spirit, it's a different one. And they may not be driving the bus, but they're Mrs. Garmin. Right? That was good. I like that one. Witches will always have what they call a familiar. Witches are associated with black cats. There's a reason why. Is that a witch will be told to seek out their familiar. That there is a spirit that will aid them in their witchcraft. It will help them, guide them with their spells and their spell casting. It will give them certain powers that they need. And it will just be their guide throughout their life. In the Idiot's Guide to Wiccan Witchcraft, it says a spirit animal. Most of these devils are beasts. The devil's a dragon. Is he not? He does not think the way we think. He does not have free will either. He's a Calvinist. I didn't say that. He does not have free will. He is a beast like your dog is a beast. Okay? A spirit animal represents the spirit of a particular species of animal, not of an individual animal such as your dog who died when you were 11. Spirit animals possess all the knowledge and habits of their species. Even in the Native American cultures, when a young man got to a certain age, he went into the smoke house or whatever they called that. And the sweat lodge. And he stayed in there for days, fasting, sweating, purging himself, so that soon a spirit animal guide would show himself to this Indian man, and that would be his name, Running Elk. Okay? Because he saw an elk, or he saw a wolf, so his name was Gray Wolf, or Silver Wolf, or Angry Wolf, or whatever. That's his spirit beast guide devil. And this is why we can't get the gospel into these Native American tribes, for the most part. The Catholic Church is there. The Lutheran Church is there. They're not doing a thing for them. So many people have one particular spirit animal, a wolf, raven, otter, or bear, for instance. They feel that this spirit animal represents them, and they will ask the animal for help. Even if you are not in touch with your own spirit animal, you can ask one to help you. You can ask spirit animals to carry messages or magic to their destinations. Those are familiar spirits. You ever heard the word gypsies? You know where they came from? They were Egyptians. They were people from Egypt who migrated out into Russia, Eastern Europe, and then into Western Europe, and then to America. And Isaiah 19:3 says, "The spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to wizards." Notice there's four things here. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is your fourth kingdom, people. It's not a man or a group of men that's going to take over the world. It's not Bill Gates. He consults with a familiar spirit. He might even have one. I don't know. But he's not going to take over the world. Quit worrying about him. He's a man. It's the devils I worry about. It's the spirits that we're wrestling against. Is it not? Then start fighting in the right place. Amen. Principalities and powers. So, let's do this. Go to 2 Peter and then Jude chapter 8. And I'm just waiting for someone to stand up and start reading Jude chapter 8. You will expose yourself. And just hold your place there. I'm probably getting ahead of myself. I know it's in my notes in here. But these are the two chapters that talk about the false teachers that are coming in the last days. Now, we can name some of their names. We mentioned Benny Hinn. We mentioned Pope Francis. These are all false teachers, false prophets. They're teaching false doctrines. Let me throw something out to you. It takes all kinds, right? Well, I'm the other kind, okay? I just try to think a little different. Seeking in the Scriptures answers. Because I am thirsty for knowledge. I want to know. And it's the ministry of a watchman rather than an evangelist. Is to know what's coming and to be able to spot it right. And so, yeah, I've read things that most of you guys won't read, and that's fine. I look into things most of you guys don't look into, and that's fine. But I think I see something different coming to this world. And I'm going to clarify it with Scripture. What if the false teachers that Peter mentions here, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. What if there came a time when these false teachers were not men, they were spirits? What if? Has that ever happened in the Bible? I'm going to show you. What does familiar mean? My kinsfolk have failed and my familiar friends have forgotten me. It means you know them, or they know, or they make you think you know them. If you go to a consultant with familiar spirits and you're trying to make contact with your Uncle Freddie who buried the money out in the backyard and you want to know where it is. You go to the person who has a familiar spirit and she will get they will network somehow. She will pull out a spirit that knows your Uncle Freddie, that was there when he was born, that was there with him his whole life, learned how he talked, knows what he looks like, and knows where he hid the money. And that familiar spirit will be able to tell those people things that they think only their Uncle Freddie knows. But was there devils with Uncle Freddie? They're in here now. Okay? We just can't see them. But they're everywhere. There's a bunch of them too. If the company of angels is innumerable, how many of them are there? And how do you take an innumerable amount and divide a third off of it? That's God, amen? His calculator's a lot better than yours. My own familiar friend in whom I trusted. So the spirit that they saw looked like Uncle Freddy, sounded like Uncle Freddy, knew things that only Uncle Freddy would know, which causes this person, and I've had to talk to people who have had this experience and said that they felt it was real. And I'm going, no, it's not. It wasn't. It was a familiar spirit. It was someone posing. There's familiar money out there, isn't there? It's phony. But it looks the same. Sounds the same. May spend the same for a while. That's what I'm talking about. Now, spirit guides, like guardian angels, spirit guides are assigned to us. This is from the Idiot's Guide to Wicca. Are assigned to us at birth, and we can have as many as 7 of them. Why did they get that number, John? The unclean, the when the swept house, cleaned and garnished, 7 more devils came in. Worse. Isn't that something? And the 7 spirits of God are the exact opposite, aren't they? See, those 7 spirits, those 7 devil spirits can pose as the 7 spirits of God, can't they?
Yeah.
Name somebody in the Bible that had 7 devils. Mary Magdalene. She may have thought at one time she had the Holy Spirit. But Jesus showed her otherwise. Now she does. Amen. Your spirit guides help you to learn other spiritual, learn your spiritual lesson. They also watch over you and often will quite literally guide you on your path through life. In addition, your spirit guides will sometimes set up learning situations to help you evolve spiritually. Okay? So, here is this video. You can still find it. I checked the other day. Perry Stone. You know who I'm talking about? The big prophecy liar on TBN. He is. He's a liar. The guy's a joke. Because in this video, that's his dad, Fred Stone. And his dad was Flint. You'll wake up. Some of you are going, what did he say? Perry Stone is having a conversation with his father about an experience that his father had. His father was called to preach by a friend named Al Collins. Now, at this time, Al Collins had been dead for years. And Fred Stone said that Al Collins' ghost, he said those words, came and visited him and showed him in heaven the library where all the books are there, where all the things that could not be written in books are written in books. Right? He says, and he's not the only one that says he saw that library. I saw another guy who said he got to visit that library, and Jesus told him that when he comes back down to earth, he can take any 2 books from that library and bring them down to earth. You know what the guy picked? He picked a book called John 22. There's only 21 chapters in John. So he wants to bring John 22 down to the earth to show everybody what's in it. And Jesus said, no, you can't take that one. We're not ready for that one yet. But I will call you back up and I will let you bring John 22 back down to the earth to show everybody what's in it. Though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel. I mean, it's right out of the Bible. Word for word, what they're doing, but they can't see it because they have a different spirit. But he said Al Collins, the ghost of Al Collins, called him to preach and gave him his anointing and showed him all those books in heaven of the things that Jesus said and did that the Bible says the world cannot contain the books of things that Jesus said and did. So he's a liar and he was called by a familiar spirit and he passed that down to his son, Perry. So it's not the same. He's not the guy you want to be watching. Does anybody recognize this house? This will take you back a few years. Who said Amityville? Okay. Remember the Amityville horror? Late 70s, early 80s, this was a real event, a real paranormal event. Took place in a small town called Amityville, New York. It's like an extended suburb of New York City. It's a Dutch style colonial house, and the Lutz family bought the house cheap and moved into it, and within 30 days they were running out screaming, bringing their children out of the house, and they never went back to the house ever again. This was made into a book, and then it was made into a movie. And some of the things in the movie are Hollywood. They're probably not real. But the gist of the story is this. Before the Lutz family bought the house, and I'm teaching, I believe haunted houses exist. Yeah. I read it to you in the Bible. Yeah. Isaiah 13, Isaiah 34, Revelation 18. Babylon is a hold of every foul spirit and every unclean spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Those are all devils. And Isaiah 13 and 34 says that the spirits, these devils, would move in their palaces and in their habitations. So yes, I believe they exist. And what happened was, there was a family that lived in this house prior to the Lutz family. They had it for several years. They had two smaller children, I think, and an older teenage son. He was about 18, 19 years old. He was of age, and he was into drugs and things like that. And one night, he was sitting on the couch watching some kind of movie. I don't know what it was. I don't remember what it was. After the movie finished, he got up, got a shotgun, and went in and shot his mom and his dad and his siblings and killed them in cold blood. And they came and arrested him, and he swears to this day he didn't do it. But I mean, they had him dead to rights. He killed his family. Blood was shed on this ground. Does that tell you something? Does blood speak? Yes, it does. From the ground. One of his siblings was a little boy, probably about 7, 8 years old, something like that. So this family is gone. The man that killed him, the brother that killed them all, he's in prison. And so they got to sell the house. This, you know, at that time it was like worth $150,000, and they shaved it off to about $82,000. And the Lutz family bought it, thought they was getting a deal. They didn't know that a murder had taken place. There was no doubt in my mind that this man had a devil in him, killing his family. Because there was no reason for it. He was not at odds with them. So the Lutz family moved in. And this puzzled me for a long time, because this house still exists, and there's people living in it now, and they say there's nothing here. The Lutz family moved in. The two parents practiced Transcendental meditation every day. That's what I found out. I went, they're making phone calls to hell. And then all of a sudden, they started having experiences in that house. Doors slamming. There was one room that she was going to make a sewing room. The temperature barely got up above 40 degrees in that room. And the husband started having cold chills. He would build a fire and sit by the fire covered in tons of blankets and was still freezing to death. They called in a Catholic priest. Wrong thing. They called in a Catholic priest. He sprinkles hellish water all over the walls. He comes downstairs and he tells the mom, keep your kids out of that sewing room. One day that she went in there, and there were flies covering all the windows. Just thousands of flies. You know what Beelzebub means? Lord of the flies. One of the things that God sent to Egypt was what? Yeah. So within 30 days, I mean literally, they are leaving the house because doors are slamming, lights are going on and off, they're hearing voices, they're hearing screams, and they run out of that house. An investigator set up cameras in that house after the police had investigated everything. It sat idle for a long time. And he captured an image on his camera of a little boy peeping from around a door. Now, I've watched hundreds of paranormal videos. Some are fake, some are not. And I can tell you that is a common thing where spirits dwell. They're peepers. They look, and then when you look at them, they're gone. And there's nothing there. And he kept... Now, animals have reflective eyes. Humans don't. It's not a human. And it looks like the little boy that lived in the house that was murdered. But it's not him. We know it's not him. Because where is he? He's either in heaven or he's in hell. One of the two. He's in one of those two places. So what is he? Familiar spirit. Okay? And I believe in that. I've had people tell me they've seen him in their house. One guy told me it down at Fort Smith. He said that he opened a closet door one time and he swears he saw a shadow male figure standing there. And then it's gone. And he said the hackles went up on him. And he didn't want to tell me. He didn't want to tell this. I said, go ahead, because I'm telling you it's real. I believe you. Don't be surprised, preachers, at the world that we live in now. There's more around you than you think. And their power is gaining. Seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep. You know what else they do? They mutter. Now, I looked that word up. Several definitions. One is like voices rumbling in the background, muttering. Another is a low guttural voice. Sound familiar? Okay. Did it bring fear into you? Of course it did. I have a picture of a Bengal tiger up there. You know what Bengal tigers do well? They are able to create a low guttural roar. And it's proven, scientific fact, low frequencies induce fear in animals and humans. It's true. Tones that you can't hear that are so low, the vibrations somehow resonate with the brain, the vagus nerves. The vagus nerves are the two nerves that come down from your brain that control your heart palpitations, your breathing, the way your stomach and your bowels feel. When you're afraid and you get fearful, what happens to your stomach? Okay? You seek out a room. Okay? Your heart starts beating fast. Your lungs. This is not voluntary. This is, you can't control it. And I believe that what I experienced in Kenya was that. They incited fear in me. It was pure fear. It was fear that overrode my conscious cognitive abilities to think this thing through. And finally, I went back, told your dad, I said, you guys go preach tomorrow. I'm going to stay here. And at once I realized what it was, that it was happening again, I said, okay, I know what this is. And that's how you fight it. You pray. And you get the man present. Get the man in the room. And they leave. They do. You believe that? God has not given us the spirit of... What did I just say? A spirit. So do you believe now that they can incite fear? Sure they can. Because tigers can. And God gave us these animals to show us what the spirit realm is capable of. Amen? Now turn to 1 Samuel 28. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to be mean about this. I'm going to be prideful about it. I'm going to say to you that this was not Samuel. And I'm going to lay a case out for you that hopefully will help you see where we're going. This is not just a historical record of what happened 3,000 years ago. This is a prophecy. Okay? Paul said that all things that are written for our learning. He said in 1 Corinthians 10, these things are written for our admonition and learning, unto whom the ends of the world are come. And he starts telling about all the stupid things that Israel did in the wilderness. And Paul said, don't do those stupid things. Because if you do, 23,000 people fell in one day. What did they do? Fell. Is there coming a falling away? Study things in the Bible that fall. Dagon fell twice. Babylon falls. Jericho falls. 23,000 people fell. Korah fell. And his people fell. Study things that fall in the Bible. And then study us who are supposed to stand. Having done all to withstand. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Samuel was dead. So what does that mean? He's dead. And all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah. Now, I'm going to skip over this. Verse 5. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid. The Philistines, think of Philistines as an army of devils coming. Because you can't beat them. Our weapons of warfare to us are carnal. So we're Second Amendment. And I am. I got a gun in this room right now. Okay? But when the guy comes in shooting, you guys shoot first. I'm going to be down here on the floor. I'm behind you all the way, Craig. Right behind you. Cannon fodder. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. Underline that in your Bible. That's the key right there. It wasn't Samuel. Couldn't have been Samuel. Because Samuel was the Word of God. Wasn't he? That's what all the prophets represented. They represented our Bible, which we have, a sure word of prophecy. So Samuel could not speak to Saul. Even if he wanted to. Even if it was possible, he couldn't. The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by what? What was Samuel? So could Samuel talk to Saul? No. Can someone come back from the dead and speak? Luke 16. The rich man wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. But he told him, he said, Lazarus can't come home. He can't go up there. Why would Lazarus want to? He's in Abraham's bosom. He's being comforted. Amen? Psalm 115, 17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. Ecclesiastes 9, 5. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. They're dead. So can they come back? No. Be careful. Because all your Facebook friends think they can. And get honest. You follow people on Facebook that are wacky. Like me. 1 Samuel 28 again, verse 7. Then Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a what? Remember what we said? She hath one. A familiar spirit. That I may go to her and inquire of her. So, verse 9, the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. See how they always link them together. Familiar spirits and wizards. Familiar spirits and wizards. And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall be no punishment happen to thee for this thing. So, in verse 11, then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. She has no power to bring up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me, for thou art Saul? And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? Saul didn't see what she saw originally. And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. That's where they live. Caves. Grottos. Caverns. I don't like them. I used to like them. I don't like them anymore. I don't want to go in them. There's haints in there. I'm not kidding. There's boogers in there. Okay? And you just might experience it one of these days. So God's ascending out of the earth. It wasn't Samuel. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. Well, if he's covered, how could she tell it was Samuel? And Saul perceived, that's the key, that it was Samuel. But it wasn't. It was a... Now watch this. I mentioned all the prophets in the Old Testament represent the Bible, the Word of God. They also represent one particular man, the prophet, Jesus Christ. Samuel is a picture of Christ. Elijah is a picture of Christ. Enoch is a picture of Christ. Isaiah is a picture of Christ. Hosea is a picture of Christ. All of them bear witness of the Spirit of Christ that was in them, the Bible says. So they are a type of Christ. So, we have the real Christ. And right here in this story, we have another Christ. Don't we? Different one. He stooped his face to the ground. This is a tarot card, by the way, called the Hermit. And that's a spirit. And he lives on mountains. First time I ever talked to Michael about Kenya, I said, are there mountains in Kenya? He said, yeah. I said, what do the people believe about those mountains? He said, they believe there's gods up there. Where did Zeus live? Mount Olympus. Mountaintops are always been famous for being habitations of spirits. All over the world throughout all time. And here he is standing on a mountaintop. He's covered with a mantle. He's got a shining light, but it's not the light of Christ. It's a different light. I won't get into that today. Then if any man, Jesus said this, Matthew 24, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it. Now watch this. Here's why I think that the future false teachers are going to be something other than worldly. For there shall arise false Christs. How did Samuel show up in this story we just said? He arose. The clues are right there. See, this is why the first thing that God really nailed me on the King James was the beauty of how the language connected everything together. Familiar spirits with wizards. I just saw that this last week. Boom. Now we see the prophets. They represent Christ. The prophets, they represent the Word of God. They're both the same. And we have a real Jesus and another Jesus. A real spirit and another spirit. And a real gospel and another gospel. And these false Christs and false prophets, the false prophet that Saul saw, that's hard to say. When I was in construction, we were sitting in a garage eating lunch, and a carpenter come running in the house, and he said, any of y'all saw Saul's all? He was a redneck. And shall show great signs and wonders. Men can't do that. Insomuch that if we're apostles, they shall deceive the very elect. It's telling you that they cannot deceive the truly elect. Because we have the truly Word of God. Amen. And we believe it. And we read it. And we meditate on it. And we preach it. And we live by it. And we go to sleep thinking about it. Amen. To keep the devils shut up. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as I've heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many what? Many of them. Was he talking about men? Maybe. Was he talking about spirits? I think so. Christ was more than just man, wasn't he? He was God and man. But we're getting into a world now where people are wanting to be half God, half man. That's already happened, hasn't it? And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men. And they bear children unto them. It's already happened. It's telling you it's going to happen again. Whereof you have heard that it should come, even now already it is in the world. So Saul died for his transgression. This is the final word on this, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord. See it? The Bible. He sinned against the Bible. Now, I got a theory. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is unforgivable. Is it not? And there's a lot of ideas about what that is. Saul rejected the Bible coming through Samuel. Did he not? And God took his mercy away from him and took the spirit away from him that he had, the Holy Spirit, and an evil spirit from God came upon him. See, I told you I'd beat this pulpit down and there'd be nothing left. That's a prophecy of what is coming. Get ready. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit, or you have not, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Another Jesus. Familiar spirits look like this. Say amen. They look like the Bible. They say Bible, but it's not the Bible, is it? And I found that out one day. They're not. So if they're not the real Word of God, they're a familiar spirit posing as the Word of God, giving a false word. Okay? Here's another one for you. This was back years ago, the 25th edition of the Greek New Testament that was given to us in Bible college, Craig. It was the Nestle-Aland Greek text, 25th edition. They called it the Nestle-Aland because Eberhard Nestle worked on it back in the 1800s. Kurt Aland took up the work. And you have Alec Wittgren, Bruce Metzger, who wrote some of the materials that I had in college. Remember Bruce Metzger? Okay. And then we have a man by the name of Carlos Martini sitting on that group. Carlos Martini is a Jesuit priest who sat on the Greek Bible Committee, the Bible that every translation in the world comes from, except the King James. And he was a liberal. He would have been pope, but they voted for Ratzinger. He would have been pope after Ratzinger resigned. But he told all the cardinals to give their vote to him, to Bergoglio, Pope Francis. And that's how Pope Francis won. Because Bergoglio really didn't want it. But Martini would have taken the vote, but he told all the people voting for him, vote for Bergoglio. He's the guy that can do it. Because he knew Bergoglio had a way with the people. And you've got to have the people to go along with it. Okay? And he supports gay pride and all this stuff. Okay? Now, he's gone. He's not on the committee anymore. So who did they replace him with? Stephen Pisano. The initials SJ represent Society of Jesus. Jesuit. They just put another Jesuit on the committee. And the Jesuits, I have a friend, Chris Pinto. You ought to watch his videos. He is solid King James. He loves the King James. And he's done some good, awesome documentaries. He's trained in Hollywood production. He's good at it. I talked to him yesterday. He is producing a documentary right now. The working title is called Jesuit America. What do you think he's going to talk about? Jesuit control in our country. And if you don't think they're for real, they are for real. They swear an oath to the Black Pope. He's the head of the Jesuit order. They swear an oath to him that they will destroy, they will tear down Protestantism, they will tear down all the Baptist groups, anybody that believes in the Word of God. They will destroy them by the sword, by quartering, by poison. And Michael, my son-in-law, was poisoned twice last year with cyanide. And how he lived was a miracle of God. Now, it took its toll. His health is not good. It's getting better. But he was poisoned twice in Kenya. We don't know who did it. Him and our security driver. That's the guy I told you Dad about would drive him around. They found out that they put cyanide dust in the vents of the car that we have over there. They cut the brake lines once or twice. They tried to kill him a dozen times this last year. That hurts. I don't like these guys. He worships idols. He contemplates every morning like Pope Francis does. He hears from familiar spirits every single day. And he's on the Greek Bible committee. Centering prayer, I don't have time to get into all that. Just pray. Don't learn how to pray from the internet. Learn how to pray from Jesus. Ask Him what you want. He'll tell you what He wants here. You talk to God through prayer. God talks to you through the Word. Okay? Don't follow after this stuff. And by the way, God doesn't whisper. He has a still small... A voice is not a whisper. A whisper is without a voice. But familiar spirits whisper. Turn to Jude. And I'll close. What are stars? Yeah, we believe the Bible, don't we? And how many stars were kicked out of heaven? And where did they go? That's going to happen. And they're going to teach mankind. So what are stars? Let me ask you again. What are stars? Thank you. I'm setting you up. I will always tell you when I'm setting you up. I will not deceive you. I'll say, I'm setting you up. Look at your Bible. Jude 8. See, it was Jude 8. Verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as what? What are they? They're not humans, are they? In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. That means they are out to murder the true believers. Ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. That means they sell indulgences. And perished in the gainsaying of Korah. They said the word of God through Moses is not the only thing you should listen to. You should listen to me. And Korah was Moses' first cousin. Same family. So, these are spots. You know what Hindus put on their forehead? It's called a bindi. You know what the word bindi means? Spot. That's what it means. These are spots, aren't they? What do Catholics do on Ash Wednesday? Put a mark on their forehead. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are, without water. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their shame. Read what's next. What are they? Say it. They're wandering stars, aren't they? Now, you're welcome to interpret that however you want to. But it's written that way for a reason, isn't it? So just, I'm giving you an intelligence report. You do with the intelligence what you feel is best. I'm not the Holy Spirit. So you take the things that I've said, you go to the Scripture, and you go to the Lord. And then let God guide you as we go into days that are getting darker, darker. These clouds are coming. The day of the Lord is a day of thick clouds and darkness, isn't it? But see, in the day of darkness, that's when the stars shine the brightest. God has a day appointed for us, Brother Lonnie. He has a day appointed for us to shine as lights in this dark world. I believe that the old timers had something. I'm not an old timer. I never saw those days. So if all I had was stories of how things used to be, I don't have any hope, because we're not going back. Mayberry's gone. Amen? Mayberry's gone. All I have is what's ahead of me. And I do believe that the days ahead of us are far better than the days that are behind us. They'd have to be. Because some of the things we've been through. Amen?